love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Just a quick trigger warning for you all. This conversation we had with Megan does include some chatting around eating disorder struggles and also mental health struggles. So we do trigger warning in the actual episode before we start talking about that stuff. But just a reminder to look after yourselves and skip forward those bits if you don't feel like hearing them today.
Hiya! Welcome to Might Delete Later, the show where we look at guests' first, worst and best social media posts.
I'm Stevie and I don't care for social media.
I'm Gina and I bloody love it.
This delightful week we have Megan Crabb, an author and body positive / mental health advocate, who's made it her goal to get people thinking more and more about being kind to their bodies and their minds, which we need right now.
We do. She's also a mega influencer with a whopping 1.3 million followers, which comes with its pleasures, sure, and also its pressures, which she chatted through. In this episode, we had a good old laugh during Follow and Follow Block when I asked Megan to choose between three very handsome men on Instagram, one of which she's dating. And if you're a fan of her and their cuteness online, then I'm sure you'll know why she chose who she chose.
Most of this podcast was recorded pre-COVID-19, which you might pick up on. But as this is all about living your life online, something we're all doing a lot right now, we hope it's still an interesting lesson. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Here we go.
Hi, Megan.
Okay, so to start it off, Stevie Martin, the Steve, not Stevie.
Not Steve Martin.
Not Steve Martin. Stevie Martin, not Stephen. My Steve.
Yeah.
What would you delete this week?
I would delete
intro.
That intro, yeah. It's quite difficult to explain, but you know, right. Oh, look, it's difficult to explain because I don't know what the word is, and I want to delete the fact that I don't know what the word is. Jogging bottoms. I love them, but what, like
the
joggers?
Phrase.
What do you call
them? Why do I have to jog in them?
Lounge pants?
Too many options.
Tracky bums? Mm. Why is it bottoms? I don't want to say bottoms when I'm trying to say
because
the trousers.
Because mum used to say to us, put your tracky bottoms on, so now we're 28, like, tracky bottoms.
Tracky bottoms. So just before, I was trying to say to Gina that, like, she said something about bobbly clothes or something, and I have got really bobbly jogging bottoms, but I went, oh my! And then I was like, in my head, I was like, jogging bottoms, trousers, and I said, drungs. And my drungs! And she's like, what are you talking about?
So too many words.
I get very anxious whenever I come to say the word jogging bottoms, track, because I don't know which one to use. Track pants, right? I don't know what to do.
Do you know what?
We need some trousers.
What are you doing then? Chill.
Chill pants.
No.
That's cute.
I like that.
It's chill adorable. Pants. But then if I'm in like a really professional setting and I'm like, oh yes, well I often put on my chill pants. They're like, what are you talking about?
Why would you say that in a meeting?
Chilly pants. So I would like to delete all of those names and have a name. Like, look, I've already come up with it. Drunks. They're called drunks. That's what we're going to call them.
Okay,
and so then everyone's just like, oh, yeah, my drunks are bobbly. And everyone's like, I know what you mean.
Bobbly.
We'll say, yeah, they've got bobbly drunks.
Because you need to debubble your drunks.
Yeah. Look, it's not going to catch on, but
My head is so hot because I was trying to hold in the laughs because of the audio and now I've got a really hot head.
I'd say just like, let the laughs out.
Oh, God, I can't wait to hear next word drunks and we can talk about it.
I know.
Okay, sounds too much like thongs. Sorry, people are going to be confused.
True. Yeah.
Going to be like, dry thongs? What is that?
Oh, that's... Well, actually, was it a wet thong? I don't know. Both are quite bad.
Yeah. Sodden thong.
So uncomfortable. So uncomfortable here. That's where the thong... Everyone
the
always
hit.
Complains about the...
Cuts in, it's annoying.
The bum bit, but it's the side
don't
bit.
Don't make it cut in. I want a soft thong. Ugh. I also think jogging bottoms, I don't know what... Like, I don't jog in them. I just eat and sit on the sofa and watch TV and like hang out in my life. Like, why do I have to
what do you call
bottoms?
Them? So I'm like... Nice
sweats.
Nice sweats.
Like sweatpants.
Oh, sweatpants. Okay, that's
but you meant like sweating them again. It's all like
yeah, it's all like active wear.
I want to call them like rotting pants.
Just sit and rot
and marinate in them,
or like takeaway pants. Because whenever I'm wearing them, like I think I want to take away. Like,
yes,
I don't know why.
Takeaway pants.
I don't want to do nothing.
Oh my
anyway.
God, we need to get to. We need to. This is going to be so long.
No, it's fine. We're going to have to just start a new podcast about jogging
about
pants drunks. Sweats.
Okay.
Right. What would you like to delete?
I would like to delete people sending me, giving me tote bags.
Ooh. That's a really good one.
It was like when I decided to get my first tote bag, I was like, amazing, I'll take it to the shop and I'll never use plastic bags because I'm not an idiot. So I was like, take it to the shop. Great. Every event, every brand that I work with, every shop, every anything, get a tote bag. And I appreciate each individual tote bag because it's an act of kindness, but I will end up being buried with tote bags.
Yeah, like, you will die. Like, that's 80. How you'll die.
No more tote bags, please.
What was the 60. Tweet that you said?
You did a
yeah. fucking great tweet, something about your telling your children what an influencer was like.
Yeah, it was like, I'm putting my son's backpack on. He asked me what being an influencer in 2019 was like. I remove his school bag, which is a tote bag, and throw it onto the bed, which is a pile of tote bags. From the other room, a tote bag rings. I was like, something like that. I can't remember what it was. Something stupid.
I'm not an influencer at all. I have like 7 tote bags.
Oh my
and also,
God.
They're all really embarrassing. So I've got one that I brought today. It's an old El Paso one.
I think that's quite
it's
sick.
Just like keep life hot or something. I've got so many and they're everywhere.
They multiply, they're like socks.
I don't know where I get them from.
Yeah. Okay, Megan, what would you delete this week?
What would you like to delete?
This week I am going to delete every tweet telling Lizzo to put her clothes back on.
Oh, good.
I'm going to get rid of them all.
Are people doing that?
People can leave. Let Lizzo be naked for
actually?
The rest of time. Yeah, have you not seen?
No.
There's a whole thing. Essentially, I mean, she got her ass out at a basketball game. That's what happened. So she wore a dress with the butt cut out.
Oh my God, I need to sit right now.
I think it's genius.
So much.
Like, we've had every other area cut out. We've even had some, like, underbutt and the jeans. You know that was a thing?
Well, yeah, well, can I just be completely honest and say that... arseless chaps? For dirty.
Well, this is the issue,
no one's
though.
Swear,
this
way.
Is the issue, though. If you have a size 8 fucking, like, young Little Mix type whatever...
Yeah.
Entertainment... Like, a woman who... People see on social media through the male gaze will be like, oh yeah, great, look at her bum.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's Lizzo, because she's bigger and because she's fat and she's like
we don't
enjoying
see
her body,
like that enough.
The male gaze is like, oh, don't show your bum.
So essentially, people are coming at it from the view of this was a basketball game and there were children there, you know, as if children aren't bombarded with imagery of all kinds of one-dimensional beauty standards already,
yes.
as soon as they're old enough to take it in. And apparently just Lizzo's butt was so offensive because it was a family event.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think, like, if I had kids, I would use that as a great little talking point to be like, isn't it really great that this woman is celebrating her body and we don't all look the same? And also, some people are empowered by wearing different things. And when you're an adult, you can choose for yourself what is empowering to you to dress in.
Absolutely.
That's a great little teachable moment.
Yeah, rather than to pounce on it. It's like when you look at a lot of, you know, there's like adverts at the moment where for certain clothing brands and they've got their butts out.
And what's the difference?
And there's kids on the tube who are looking at the butts. Mm-hmm. Like,
what's the difference?
There's literally no difference.
And also I have this massive problem with the fact that like sexuality or like human bodies, even sexualizing human bodies, even like confidence and self-sexualizing yourself, I have a problem with the fact that that is seen as a terrible thing. But like inane, horrific violence is seen as something accepted that kids can see and play with every single day. Like, I think our priorities are very interesting. Like, you'll go home and play a shooting game where you will literally blow bodies apart, but if you see a woman's bum, that's a problem.
Mm.
Like, I just don't understand
that
as a concept.
That. That's interesting.
Really weird. Really strange.
Is.
Okay, good deletion.
Weird. I hope they all become deleted. You look so like colourful. There's a bee on your knee.
And not a real one.
Not
a
real
one.
Yeah, sorry. I would have reacted with more force. Did you paint that bee?
I did not paint this bee. So I'm doing that thing where I'm trying not to buy fast fashion.
It's so hard, though.
It's so
hard. Especially if you're not a size 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually impossible almost. It's
near enough.
Yeah.
Yes. So these are Lucien Yak dungarees, and then they have been hand-painted by a small social enterprise in Bristol who custom paint things, and then all their profits go back into eating disorder recovery workshops. So,
so great.
Wow.
I mean,
is doing some good.
I know. So I'm living in these now.
How? Because you do lots of things like that, like really, like, I don't know, very useful and interesting and fun. I don't want to say, like, I... a diverse range of content.
Yes, you do.
How do you like come up with that stuff? Is it quite stressful to be like, what cool, very important, good thing should I do today? When I actually don't have anything to say today.
Yeah.
Like, is that hard sometimes?
Tell you what, I think I proper boxed myself in for a long, long while. I think even a couple of years ago, I would not have posted anything outside of strictly body positivity or eating disorder recovery, because I figured that's what people want to see. That's why everyone's here. So I have to do that every single day.
Yeah.
Even if I don't feel like talking about it, even if I've already posted about it 5 times this week.
Hard.
You can talk about all the things without having to know everything about all the things. You can just kind of do your best.
Yeah, big time.
Admit where you have gaps, want to learn more. Also, I think I've been using my Instagram and social media more as a learning tool for myself again, which is what I did in the start, like before I knew very much about any kind of body positivity or anything like that. And now I'm saying, you know what, I am interested in sustainability. I'm interested in, well, can always be a better intersectional feminist. So I'm also asking my audience to teach me, and what are your tips, and where should I go for this, which turns it into such, well, what it should be, like interactive
discourse. Instead of you being like, I'm going to teach you about things and treat you on things. And then also, I'm going to put so much pressure on myself as a human to know fucking everything and get everything right all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's just not fair.
Because by definition, you won't. And then you'll feel like you've failed when you haven't failed.
Ever.
You've just been a human.
You always said, Stevie's always said to me, like, when we talk about, you know, whether it's something societal or something personal or whatever, and like this problem with binary, everything has to be binary. And you've always said, humans are multitudes. You always just say, humans are full of multitudes.
Yeah.
Like, I know it wasn't you to make it up, but like you say that a lot, and it made me go, yeah, like there's so many complexities, and like just existing online in a way that you feel you should have to just isn't healthy. And especially when you are feeling like you are someone that is looked up to because you're a massive audience. People look up to you to be a certain thing, and it's really great for you to be able to turn around and be like, well, I'm just Megan at the end of the day. I'm just doing my best and learning. Like, it's really healthy to see people do that, that you are massive as well. I spent a lot of time looking at people who weren't like that, and I wish I'd been like Jamil. Like, there's a big conversation around her and all things like she might do wrong, she might do right. I do appreciate the progress, not perfection thing. I find that very, very helpful.
Yeah, because when you make a mistake, because even people who, like me, I don't have a big following on Instagram at all, Twitter at all, but I still get frightened joining a conversation or posting. I'm like, oh, I'm going to say the wrong thing. And then you're like, no. I mean, I still don't post. But I'm like, but if I wanted to, maybe I'm closer to posting. But I'll like things, or I will like do things. I've started to do things like, when I see, because you've got a lot of trans friends, and they're posting like TED Talk, and you said like a really good thing, which was just like commenting underneath and being like, can't wait to see it.
Supporting
shows a support that I've not been doing, because I've just been like, I don't know what to say. What if I say the wrong thing?
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't get it wrong by saying can't wait to see your TED Talk.
You can't be wrong supporting
like,
someone.
Like, come on. Yeah. So yeah, and I think it means I educate myself on that as well. But you've got such a huge following. It must be sometimes difficult to balance the, like, being an educator, educating, and then just being like, I just want to have some time off. Are you able to take time out?
I do now. I really, really didn't used to. I used to force myself to post, like, every single day, even if I was completely uninspired and the world was empty. I would sit for, like, hours, like, debating what I should post, like, every evening, and that's really no way to exist.
No.
So I don't do that anymore. I allow myself to have, like, chunks of time here and there.
And if you feel something or you think of something, then you go, oh, like, I've had an idea, so now is the time to put that out there.
Exactly. And I think the kind of shift that we are seeing a little bit more towards not having to be perfect and allowing yourself to learn and make mistakes, that has actually enabled me to post a lot more things anyway, to not be as like horribly anxious every single time I open an app. So we're back into a more regular pattern.
That's good. And we're getting somewhere closer to being like a healthier relationship. So we asked you, Megan, to bring us your first post, one you regret and one you're proud of. So we'll go for your first post first, which makes sense chronologically. So do you want to explain to us what your first post was and what was going on in your life at that point, where you were as a person, and have a little discussion around that?
Okay.
Oh, there you are.
This is a picture of me posing in a way that makes my body look as small as it can possibly look. I definitely made my boyfriend of the time take this maybe like 37 times. And I still wasn't happy with it. I'm pretty sure I still edited that, maybe in Paint, because I can't use any other photo editing tools. And then I posted it, and I refreshed it, and I refreshed it, and I refreshed it, and I refreshed it, and I just waited for someone the to tell me nice in. About
the validation.
Yeah, essentially.
What was did you edit photos a lot back then?
Oh, I did not upload a photo that had not been edited. Do you remember? I don't know if anyone else got this, like that instant panic of you've been tagged in a photo.
Yes.
Back when it was like strictly Facebook days. Mm. That was like every day. So that was immediately take down, and anything that I put up was meticulously edited, just make my body smaller, basically. Oh, right. That was every time.
And did you have like apps and things like that, or would you have to go?
No, that didn't exist then.
Yeah, 2014.
Oh God, of course. I mean, I've never been on one of those apps. Of course, but I didn't know. They might have been around for ages.
Yeah.
I've only been on Facetune once when I made my head really small.
As a joke. Yeah, I remember that.
So I looked like a little small pinhead. But because it terrified me, because I did like a joke about it in my show, and I wanted to do like a really over-the-top photoshopped thing of my face and just like be like, and this is me like at my most candid or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I went on it, and just going on it for a second made me so upset and angry and terrified that I found it really difficult.
Because you
just
said to me, like, how do you stop? And like, we just don't know, you don't know who's using it. So like, what was so using that and the experience of using that and this being your first post, and okay, like, was this your first introduction to Instagram, or had you posted before and deleted stuff, or was this the first upload ever?
This was the first upload, and I was quite late to the game amongst my friends, so this was me kind of giving into Instagram.
Okay.
And coming forward.
That was the introduction, because the introduction, right, is... as a girl, I'm going to go on this thing and I'm going to try and look as cute, as thin, as hot as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you stop editing your photos? Was there a moment where you were like, I'm not doing this anymore?
I think when I came into the body positivity thing, I have always tried my best to practice what I preach. And that was definitely a bit of a shock to the system. Even though, the thing is, when I came into it at the time, I was smaller than I am now. So anyone looking at me would just think, oh, there's this relatively slim, still quite like conventionally by our cultural beauty standards, attractive girl. No big deal. She's posting a picture of herself. And I was still in such like a disordered mindset around my body and around food and around weight that it genuinely was a big deal for me to just post a picture of myself unedited.
Yeah.
And I see how it's not actually a big deal in the grand scheme
of
things.
I think a lot of us feel like that.
Everything's relative. Like, it's a massive thing.
Yeah, and I think the stepping stones are important. I think we dismiss the stepping stones a lot of the time. So that was one of my first stepping stones into kind of more radical body liberation and body politics.
And even if it's not like face tuning or like editing, like I know when I started on Instagram, like before campaigning, before any of my work that I'm in now, like I would put up a picture. Like, even stuff that I know that I did. So, like, if I was doing Instagram stories, I often lay down and did an Instagram story because it made my face look thinner. Weird.
And you don't realise you're doing it.
Well, I did. I sort of subconsciously knew I was doing
it. Yes, of course.
But now, in retrospect, you go, oh, that's why I did it. And now, like, I post videos all the time. I don't wear makeup. I don't care. I'm proud of who I am now. I've developed myself in other ways that my value isn't just, like, on Instagram stories. I feel like I need to look good because I've really followed things I cared about. But even if it's not editing, it was, like, controlling the environment to make sure that I felt and looked a certain way.
But you know, I
think
like
that is a big deal to break
now.
Out of that.
Like, I feel like that now. I put up like stupid photos of me looking normal, but then I'd be like, well, that's too normal. Or that's like too unattractive. And it'll be an unattractive face that I'm pulling. I'll be like, argh, and I'm like, oh, that's actually too much. And then I'll be like, no, that's better. And I hate it. But I think we all do that because you often will post in Instagram stories and you'll be using like a fun filter or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you feel tired. So you're like,
if I
feel
like tired real bad
and
spots,
I don't want
to be like.
And then afterwards you're like, damn it.
Why
like,
did I do that?
This is not this. I'm feeding the cycle, but it's so hard to step out of the cycle. So it's amazing that you were able to go, I mean, it's much more brave than you're giving yourself credit for to be like, I'm going to not edit myself.
And I think, like, you're saying it may not seem like a big deal with the tuning thing, but, what I'm trying to communicate is the fact that, like, I think everyone has felt like that in some way.
Yeah.
Whether it's tuning or it's filters or it's the way you show up or it's how you dress or whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's really important.
I've got a lovely friend that never posts a photo of her with a body in an Instagram photo. And I didn't notice for ages. And I was like, it's only ever here or she's behind somebody or she's, like, behind a tree.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're literally putting a tree in front of you so you can't be seen. And she just doesn't want it. She's and the Billie Eilish thing's really interesting as well about like the fact that she like doesn't want to be sexualized means that you know now you type in Billie Eilish in Twitter and the next thing comes up is body and it's just people being like what
she's a child as well.
Anyway, is there a post that you have that you really regret doing?
I did bring one, yes.
Did you bring one?
I did bring one. So this, there's a bit of a, backstory behind this.
Go for it.
So this is a side-by-side picture of one side me standing up. I'm posing, I suppose, in what you call like a traditionally like modelly way. Mm. Like my hands are up. I'm probably sucking my stomach in. And the picture next to it is me sat down on a stool. My stomach's folded over. I've got a few rolls. You can see my cellulite and I'm not as posy.
And you're in the underwear here, right?
And I'm in my undercrackers. Yeah. So this is has become a genre of photo that if you are familiar with the body positive community online, follow anyone who talks about bodies, you have probably seen a photo like this. Not to sound like a complete dick, but I'm pretty sure I did it first. And at the time, I was like, oh my God, this is genius. I am showing that even if your body looks a certain way when you're standing up and posed, you can still have rolls.
Within the same like, minute.
Exactly. Bodies look different from different angles. And I thought I was making a really astute point. And I think looking back, fair enough, there is a point in that. You know, we still kind of see like magazines showing pictures of celebrities like at quote unquote unflattering angles and being like, oh my God, look at their body, but it's the same freaking body that they had before. They've literally just like turned around or sat down, whatever. Yep. No big deal. But this genre of photo kind of took on a life of its own, and every influencer in the body positive world who looks like me or smaller than me started doing it, standing at one side, sitting down the other, posed one side, unposed the other. And it took a while for people in the space who exist in bigger bodies, for the fat people in the community, to kind of start saying, hold on a minute, I can't do this.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
My body looks the same regardless of how I am posed, whether I'm standing up or sitting down, I still have roles and I can't hide it, which also in turn means that that's why I'm discriminated against. That's why the world treats me the way that it does. I cannot hide my fatness behind a pose.
Can't create a different body in a minute.
Exactly. So these posts actually kind of further alienate me because you're still very, very socially acceptable on one side and I can't have that, recognize the privilege in that. And slowly more and more people started kind of speaking up and saying, yeah, I find this problematic or this hurts the movement. So I stopped. I stopped doing them. Even though they were kind of, this is probably my first post that went viral, like super, super big. And every time I posted one, the same thing happened.
It was a short thing.
Yeah, it was, the likes were just like crashing in. So part of me obviously wanted to keep doing that because you get a little bit hooked on that.
Mm.
But it wasn't worth potentially hurting the people who I saw as part of my community and who I desperately like.
And who are most victimised by
exactly
the thing you're fighting.
There
I
are
guess.
Other ways exactly. to send that. There are better messages that you could be putting out. There. Yeah,
and I think
do you know what? It's interesting that you've kept it up as well, because I always think when people regret a post and they delete it, it's very easy because then it's like, oh look, it never happened. I never made that mistake. Mm-hmm. But to have it there and then to have an open conversation about it is like actually the only way we work past that shit, like to work to learn from it.
I think as well, like when people scroll back, that it's very clear to see, oh, she used to do this kind of post and she doesn't
anymore,
so you can see the learning curve of it. I haven't particularly like spoken that much about it, partly because there's still tons of people doing these photos. If you go onto any kind of slim white body image advocate influencer, they will be doing these kind of photos still. And I don't know, I almost feel like it's not my place to tell them not to, because I learned from other people telling me.
It's
a tricky one, because I can still see that some people benefit from it when you're at that first stepping stone, when you haven't even posted a picture of your body, when you can't even imagine accepting your body. I can see how those pictures are still helpful. So it's tricky.
Yeah, because I guess you're speaking, because when you're speaking on a movement, or you're speaking for a movement, or you're part of a movement, that movement is a spectrum. And like you say, there are people who are most discriminated, usually fat women of colour, bigger women. And those women who can't do that are going to go, well, that's like a very, very easy thing for you to do. But then like you say, there's people at the other end of the spectrum, like you're communicating, that are like at the first level. And they're like, wow, this makes me feel a bit better for a second. And you're kind of, you speak for, or you don't need to speak for them, but you speak with a lot of those people, and people are looking to you to communicate that whole spectrum, which is so difficult.
Do you find that difficult in other areas? Like, because you have a very wide variety of followers all along that spectrum, do you get messages with people being like, well, hang on, this doesn't, and then people are like, that really helped me, and you're like, I don't know what is helping and what isn't sometimes.
I think this has been a real balancing act in the recognizing that in most ways I sit slap bang in the middle. My body is just at the start of the plus spectrum, so I'm kind of in the middle there. I'm mixed race, but I'm light skinned. I'm in the middle of between kind of using like academic language and like everyday language. And holding that middle ground where there will be people for whom I will never be radical enough. And yeah. I understand that. And yeah. I'm not for them. I get it. But then there are also people who are constantly like, oh, you're going a bit far with this one. Whenever I express a more political or a more radical opinion. Yeah. And knowing that, like, I can never fully please either of these sides. But I have to try and bring in the people who are still like at the start while also showing respect to the people who are ahead of me and who I've learned from. That's been a real tough balancing act. Yeah.
Did you get help with it? Do you have people to talk to who are like, hey, in the same space and... thing? No.
Is there anyone you can turn to and go?
I have a couple of friends who are in the same kind of space.
Basically, we need to make you best friends with Lizzo, though.
Yeah,
because you two together would be like, well, what a powerhouse.
I don't know. I don't. I feel like, it's hard to have friends who worship you. Like, I don't think I could treat her like a normal human being.
It'd be
at
weird
this point.
For her.
Yes, yeah. There we go.
You
there,
just stare at her and like make noises.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we're on to a post you're proud of.
Post you're proud of. Apart from all of them.
I remember this post.
The photo, it's a slide. It's a slide. I love a slidey slide. So there's one where I am like fully made up, wearing a little gold silky mini dress. Everything looks amazing. And then sliding is a picture of me later that day where I look, I would say like bedraggled is a nice way.
Sad. I think you look really
sad.
You look really cute.
Sad and bedraggled. Sad. Yeah. And it's just a selfie that I took in the mirror that I kind of took to convince my brain that I was even in that space. Is there going to be a trigger warning on this?
There is now. Trigger yeah. warning. Cool. And what's the trigger? What we're talking?
So this is some very real talk about mental health, disassociation, anxiety and death a little bit. So if that's okay. going to be too much, I won't be offended. If you switch off, take care of yourself first. You're important. So this post was me kind of admitting that although everything looked peaches and cream at the start of the day and I was posing and I was being an influencer and doing all that stuff, I was an absolute fucking wreck this day and this entire trip. So this was in France with my friends. And I had...
Were you on a holiday with your friends?
Yeah, we'd gone for a few days to meet someone who was out there. And I was going through a phase of mental health that, to be honest, I still to this day don't fully understand, but I can only describe it as a really extreme, depressive episode with really acute anxiety and disassociation, where I was spending every single day kind of obsessing over existential meaning and death and when the world was going to end and having these panic attacks almost every other moment, thinking that literally the world could come to an end at any point. That I was having nightmares about the sun crashing into the earth and I still don't know what kicked it off, what technically to call it. I pulled myself out of it, and I have been in therapy for 2 years, so I was in therapy this entire time this was happening, so I was supported. But it was really, really hard to keep existing as the girl in the first photo,
yes.
who the internet sees me as,
yes.
And not wanting to... I don't like to share things when I'm still going through them because I like to find the teachable moment, basically.
Yeah. Right, right.
And in mental health, like, that is really hard because sometimes there isn't a teachable moment and sometimes it's just, look, I'm fucking scared, this is shit, yes. I don't know what's going on. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
There's no yeah. philosophy there. There's just, this is experience.
Exactly. And I kind of got myself through the worst of that and not telling the internet at all and only telling people really, really close to me and still kind of forcing myself to show up every day as this positive presence,
wow.
which was really fucking hard.
Yeah.
And then it got to Mental Health Awareness Day and I was like, I feel like I'm in a space now where I could share this and maybe it'd be worth it because maybe one other person has felt this.
Mm.
I'm not looking for someone to like tell me what that was or like here's the cure, here's how you never go back there or anything. But I think if I'm going to keep showing up on the internet, I might as well be my most authentic and honest self. And this is that. So I posted it really, really not knowing how it was going to go down because it's probably the most honest thing I've ever posted.
Can you read the post for us? I know it's long. You don't have to if you don't want to.
It is quite long and it's very dark.
Okay, well, we'll post it. We'll post it okay. on Instagram. You don't have to
read
it.
And we'll do a little slidey thing so people can see one you regret, the one you're proud of, and the one. So if you go into Might Delete Later Pod, you'll be able to see Megan's post because it is really powerful and it's really, really, really helpful for people, I think. I don't think anyone would see that who's ever had any sort of mental health phase or problem. And it's just nice to see the person behind, because it's so easy just to see you as being this, well, you're so confident and you're so amazing and, you know, you love yourself and it's really great and you know, I should be like that, but I'm not. Oh, no, I'm terrible. Like, and to see that sometimes you really struggle as well.
And you don't know what to call it. You don't know how to bring the language to it. That's the critical thing as well, because, like, you say about the teachable moment, like, so often with mental health conversations, it's like, here's the problem, here's how we move past it, here's how we... And it's actually so much more powerful sometimes to be like, I don't know what the fuck happened, but it happened. I just need to tell you what happened because I don't know, none of us know what we're doing. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know what it's called. That's the reality.
I'm guessing the response was really heartening and nice.
You know what? I was really, really, really surprised by the amount of people who said, I have felt this exact same thing and I haven't been able to describe it. And this is exactly this. And I think even as present as I am in spaces where like mental health is discussed and I'm like, I'm quite clued up on like the language and things like that. Mm. And I've been in therapy for 2 years. Like my brain still managed to convince me that no one else in the world could have possibly felt like that.
Yes.
And I think that's very symptomatic, especially of depression, that no one else could understand. You are completely alone. They will never get it. So just the sheer fact that that's got maybe like over 1,000 comments on it of people saying I felt exactly this makes it less terrifying.
Yeah, it takes some of the power away, I imagine, from it.
Well, it takes the shame away.
Yes,
and I think I still was holding on to shame about that because it's like I shouldn't have been dragged into that. Like surely in the position that I'm in, I should have been able to find my way out sooner or be immune to this stuff by now. And I'm not because my brain is still a human brain.
Yes,
and it's prone to malfunctioning in that way, I suppose, or maybe functioning exactly as it's designed to function in this world that we currently live in. Who knows?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point.
It is true.
This is something someone said something to me in a panel, or I was watching a panel actually. I was on it, and they said, "I'm so bored of kind of anxiety and depression and mental health struggles being categorized as some kind of like unusual kind of like anomaly because it's actually a very normal response to." A completely overstimulated, really unnavigationable world that we're in now. Like, it's normal response to what we're going through.
You can literally track smartphone usage and
mental health problems,
rise in people. I mean, but obviously that goes off people who are coming into into a doctor's and being like, I have a problem, and lots of people aren't doing that. But the people who are doing that, it's like the exact same curve.
And there's also a thing that said that the amount of information or stimulation we take in now... So I think it was in 1940, in a whole day now, we take in a year's worth of information we would have taken in 1940.
Yeah, makes just sense. Just bombarded. You'd read a paper and then you'd go to work.
Yeah, you get like designated channels. Now we're just so overstimulated. I think you're right. I think it's a very normal response to the world we live in. And I think to categorise it as abnormal is the problem.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to get you. So follow, unfollow, block. Obviously, there's a difference between block and unfollow. So follow is like, I want to see their stuff. Unfollow is like, I'm okay with it. I've seen their stuff. Block is like, get out of my life.
And they know it as well.
And they're going to know.
They know when they've been blocked.
So these are three people we know, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Follow, unfollow, block.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Ethan Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac Carew. Or Nadir Hanadi.
You're going to have to explain that for people
listening. Kenny Ethan Jones is an incredible, incredible social activist, trans activist, amazing writer, does incredible conversations, really, really nuanced conversations on social media, really teaches people about the trans experience and fights for trans people's rights, and also does a lot of educating around...
Can't block them.
No. And does a lot of educating around trans men and periods and how periods aren't just something that women, cis women experience. Isaac Carew is a chef and a model, and Nadir Hanadi is a documentary maker. He does films for YouTube about identity, about being mixed race, about where home is for him, about being in the post 9/11 generation.
You can't unfollow any of these people.
Oh no, they're all brilliant, and that's why it's going to be such a fun game. Okay, follow and follow block. Kenny, Isaac, Nadir.
So can I just point out for everyone listening who's like, who the hell are these people and why has Gina chosen them? Gina has chosen three exceptionally attractive men. All of whom she knows that I find attractive. One of whom I'm sleeping with.
I didn't know we were allowed to talk about that.
You could just guess it at home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to give anything away with these guesses.
Loads of people will be flocking to your Instagram stories being like, okay, are there any clues?
When does this come out?
January.
Oh, I mean, it's probably going to be out by then.
True.
So you might not get the exclusive. Sorry, hun. All right. Okay. For that reason, I'm going to mix it up. You know what? I am going to follow... No, you know what? Let's look at these men for their professional accomplishments and their content only. Let's not treat them like they're pieces of meat, even though all it's exceptionally attractive.
They're fit pieces of meat.
For their content, I am going to follow Kenny Ethan Jones because I think
he's doing
incredible work in the trans community. And there's no one else out there really like him doing that. Also, fucking fit, mate.
He's really fit.
I can't just stalk these people.
I know. I'm like itching to
Kenny's body is like, what is going on?
I'm just gonna look him up just while you're talking.
Cool. I am going to... I don't want to unfollow any of them. Can I follow but still check up on Nadir?
Yes.
Okay, I'm unfollowing Nadir.
You're blocking Isaac, mate.
I think we know who she's sleeping with.
Wait, do we?
I think I've figured it out because you, doesn't matter. I'd always block the person I was sleeping with because I'd be like, yeah, that's fine because, you know.
It could be.
That's easy.
That's interesting.
Who knows?
I mean, you know, but.
I know I do, but I'm saying it for you, babe. Who knows? I'm trying to help you.
So I'm going to continually check up on Nadir because he's maybe the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I just adore him.
Important work, too.
An important brain work.
That's the third.
He's
thing.
A smart.
Just gonna really point out third thing you've said about him.
Actually, the last thing you said.
And I am going to. I'm gonna block Isaac. Not for any particular reason. He's still very lovely and attractive. I saw him at an award ceremony the other day. We had a good conversation about whether I had food in my teeth, and he helped me out. He lives like very honest with me about
chef,
that.
He's a chef, so he probably chopped it into something nice.
Yeah. Garnished it.
He's very nice.
Thank you so much, Megan. You were so interesting and honest and great. And yeah, thank you so much for
we love you very
sharing.
Much
sharing.
And as I say, you are
a good time.
My little pie.
Oh,
little pie. Thank you, Megan.
Little
love you,
Megan's
babies.
To have a look at Megan's photos that we've been chatting about, and also to send your own photos from right back when you started Instagramming, so we can repost the funniest ones, go to @mightdeletelaterpod. Please do like, subscribe, share, tell your pals.
Make some merchandise.
Make and send us merchandise. I'm only in it for the merch.
Yeah, t-shirts.
I'll be stopping if there's no merch. thank you so much for listening. Please spread the word.
And remember, social media is meant to be fun. Use it how you will. Think about your relationship with it, but don't get too worried or stressed about it because you know what? Even if this makes you post and you don't like it, well, you might as well delete later. Woo. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.